You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Good morning. It's good to have you here. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. And how many know it's a good day to be alive? Woo! And you guys enjoying the weather? Isn't it nice? And I was driving down the road to come here today, and you know, it's melting. I live up on a hill, and there's a brand new ditch that's the water's carved out for us. How many of you guys have some ditches that's been carved out in your roads? It's eroding away. We're in a series today. We started last week called Thinking for a Change. And it's not like we want people to think for a change, but how many want to know we can change our thinking? In fact, I read this somewhere on the cornerstone of a library in one of our Eastern universities, an older library. It said, God gave us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And all the success in the world depends on which end you use. Heads you win, tails you lose. And how many want to know, our minds, we can think. In fact, someone caught me today, hey, Pastor Mark, I got a quote for you. He knows I like quotes. He says, you know why God made teenagers, right? I said, I don't know. He goes, so you could have someone made in your image who doesn't listen to the thing you say. And I was thinking, like, we're made in the Imago Dei, the image of the Almighty God, but do we believe what God has asked of us? And do we live our lives in that type of way? And so we're in this series called Thinking for a Change. And typically, we don't like to do series. We like to do series, but we don't like to have to, you know, we don't like to do multi-part series within a series. In other words, last week was part one, today's part two of the same thought. So I want to kind of, if you weren't here last week, I want to kind of just go back and refresh your memory. Number one, we're talking about thinking for change. Number one, core thoughts on thinking is our thoughts control our life, but we control our thoughts. So our thoughts control our life, but we control our thoughts. Any change I want in my life must start in my mind. In other words, if I want a different life, I don't move somewhere different. I don't find a different spouse. I don't redo my hairdo. I have to think differently if I want my life to be different. And thirdly, I can change how I feel by changing how I think. If you want to change your life, you control your mind. Your mind controls how you feel. And then fourthly, every behavior is based on a belief. And we talked about last week, we have to start thinking about what we think about. Now today I want to introduce a thought, and I'm going to spend the rest of the day kind of unpacking it. But the fifth thought on kind of core thoughts for a mind is, any time I sin at that moment, I'm believing a lie. Anytime I sin, at that moment, I'm believing a lie. Now, perhaps it would help if I gave you a definition for sin. I believe sinning is when, this is in your notes, sin is when I believe Satan's lie above God's truth. I believe Satan's lie above God's truth. In other words, how many of you know Satan has a strategy to get us to sin? It started back in the Garden of Eden. That's the first book in the Bible. That's the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the Old Testament, it starts with what book? Genesis. And God made a man and God made a woman. The man's name was Adam. The woman's name was Eve. And you know, people say, well, why did God make a man before a woman? I always say, because God always makes the rough draft before he comes up with the final copy, right? Actually, I think that's what some people say it is. I heard someone else say, you know, God had a discussion with Adam and said, Adam, hey, you know, I see you're lonely. I'd like to create a helpmate for you, but it's going to cost you something. And Adam says, what's it going to cost me? They're bartering. And God says, well, an arm and a leg. And Adam says, what can I get for a rib? No. Sorry. That was bad. So Adam and Eve are in the garden. And God tells him, what does God tell Adam and Eve? You can eat from what? Every tree in the garden but this one tree, right? What's Satan say? Satan comes and goes, did God really say you couldn't eat from any tree in the garden? What was Satan trying to do? Satan was trying to get Adam to doubt, second guess, and wonder what a truth versus a lie was. And so then God, but God says, you can eat from every tree, but this one, when you eat from this one tree, you'll surely what? You'll surely die. Adam says, Satan says, did God really say you can't eat from any tree? I mean, come on, you're surely not gonna die if you eat from that tree. The reason why God doesn't want you from that tree is because God knows if you eat from this tree you're not supposed to eat from, you'll become like him. Satan was lying. And what happens? Adam and Eve sinned. Why? Because they questioned whether the truth was a lie. They begin to doubt. New Testament example, Jesus has been water baptized. He comes up out of the water. A dove in the form of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit in the form of a dove comes and lands on top of his shoulder. And for the first time in the New Testament, we see the Trinity. Jesus the Son, the dove, the Holy Spirit is right there. And a voice from heaven says, this is my Son, in him I'm well pleased. No. We all assume the voice from heaven is going to be, this is my Son, in him I will. Wouldn't you love it if it was like Mickey Mouse voice? But what's the voice say? This is my what? Son. We know immediately after the water baptism, he's tugged by the Holy Spirit and directed to go into the wilderness. And he's led in the wilderness where he becomes a junior high youth pastor for 40 days. Because the Bible says he spends 40 days with wild animals and beasts as angels attended to him. Angels and animals, that's junior high ministry right there. The boys are animals and the girls are angels. No. And we know at the end of the 40 days, the Bible says he was hungry. Really? He hasn't eaten for 40 days. He's hungry? And Satan comes up and says, listen, 40 days earlier, the voice from heaven said, this is my Son. At the end of 40 days, he's hungry, he's lonely, he's been wrestling with wild animals and beasts the whole time he's out there, which I think is a prophetic picture of spiritual warfare, because if you look at the Old Testament, oftentimes that was a picture of the warfare that goes on, the animals and beasts. There was, I believe it was spiritual warfare out there when he's fasting. Satan comes and says, if you are the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. He wants, just 40 days earlier, you are my Son. 40 days later, if you're my Son. See, I believe the devil wants us to cause us to have doubt and begin to believe lies because we don't know what's true and a lie, because he wants to contort, he wants to twist it until we don't really know what we believe. But every time I sin, at that moment, I'm believing a lie. Well, you know, Brother Mark, you've had a difficult week, and you know, if you do this, it won't be as bad as what other people are doing. You deserve a break today. You do most things right, Mark. Come on. You think addicts get to addiction because they believe truth, what addiction will do to them? No, they got there because of a lie. You think someone has an adulterous affair that breaks up their marriage because they're believing truth? It's a lie. You don't go from relationship to relationship to relate with brokenness because you believe truth. So Satan wants us to doubt. And doubt is two things. He wants us to doubt what God said. And number two, start believing that what you think and feel about the truth is really the truth. So we find ourselves at a place where we go, God, what's really real? And so as we talk about thinking about what we think about, every time I sin, at that moment, I'm believing a lie. Here's what I know. I know God will never lie. I know that God always tells the truth. In fact, God is truth. I know this. Satan is the father of lies. Satan cannot possibly tell you the truth. So you know what Satan does? There are times we should backhand Satan. When he comes and says, oh, I mean, come on. Just a little bit of compromise with God. It's not that big a deal. And then you say, thank you for reminding me how big a deal it is, because you can't tell me it's a big deal. All you can tell me is it's a little deal. Because you lie. You can't tell me the truth. So you backhand him and say, get out of my life. Go to hell where you belong. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies. In Proverbs, it says this, there are many ways that we think, say think. There's many ways we think are right, but they lead to what? Death. They lead to a dead end. You ever been on a dead end before? You ever went the wrong direction? I think God made Eve in the Bible because he knew a man would never stop and ask for directions when they got lost. But it says there's many ways that we think. Our thoughts control our life, but we control our thoughts. There's many ways we think, but those thoughts lead us to what? Death. Our thinking can lead us to dead end roads, believing lies. How many of us have ever seen people trapped in addictions, behavior patterns, and you look and go, that's leading you the wrong. You ever seen someone bitter where they're nursing their problem, they're cursing their problem, they're rehearsing their problem, and they don't realize God can reverse their problem? You ever seen people doping it up and groping it up and they haven't hoped it up? They believe the lies. They begin to believe. That's why people can give up sobriety for addiction, because there's something that goes, well, come on, just one won't hurt you today. Or we give up marriages and break families apart over a few minutes of pleasure. We believe a lie over the truth. Lies about what this action will lead to. I mean, come on, God didn't really say you couldn't eat from any tree. I mean, he doesn't want you to be like him. Come on. Lies about our lifestyle. Every sin's based in a lie. And many other ways we think are right, but in the end they lead to death. Now here's what I know about temptation or about sin. Temptation isn't... Sometimes we can blame our circumstances, or we can blame, well, you know, I just, that stuff out there hurt. We sin. In fact, I love what James talks about temptation and sin. In James chapter 1, he says this, temptation comes from the lure, say lure, of our own inner desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and actions lead to death. In other words, they're temptation, but temptation is a lure, and the lure comes from where? It comes from the inside of us, our inner desires, and this lure, these desires lead to actions, and actions lead to what? Death. There's a way that seems right to a man. I mean, come on, one bite's not going to hurt. I got some needs that need to be met. I have some desires. I mean, God understands, doesn't he? Satan is the most incredible fisherman on planet Earth. Anyone enjoy fishing? A lure. Anyone know? I mean, there's different types of bait. When I've gone halibut fishing, I always love it when I go with a guy that goes, I'm putting the whole, so he puts a whole red, the whole head of a red salmon on a circle hook, a big old hook, and puts it down there. And he's got another little fish sticking out through the mouth of the salmon head. And he fishes all day and catches nothing. I don't care if I bring home a bunch of chickens, because I'm going to feed all my girls. But you know, you don't fish. You fish differently for a halibut than you would for salmon. And you fish different for salmon than you fish for trout. You fish different for trout than you would for catfish. But what I know, and people always say, well, you're never going to catch anything without anything on your hook. Well, I proved that wrong one time. I'm fishing, a halibut came and stole my bait. I'm like pulling up. from about 200 feet down. I'm pulling up just a circle hook, bare, with nothing on it. And it must have looked like a little worm, because I literally, I'm about 10 feet from getting the hook out of the water to put some more bait on it, and my line takes off as a silver salmon bit my empty hook. So I got myself a little silver salmon on an empty hook. But the devil knows how to put bait on your hook. He's a bait expert. How many want to know? He knows exactly what will catch your eye. There's certain things. I'm not a fish, but I can tell you right now, I know what fish go through because the devil's been studying Mark Zweifel for 50 years. And he knows there's certain things that go, oh. And God wants me going this way, and there's something over here. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? And God knows what gets your eye. God knows what will turn your neck. Excuse me, Satan knows what will turn your neck. God does too. But Satan knows what will turn your head. Satan knows what will get your desire taste buds on the inside salivating. Satan knows what will pull on your unmet needs. And temptation starts when? When on the inside, there's something that begins to lure you and pull you, and it'll cause you to what? It'll cause you to act against, and there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And temptation starts when you start to go, maybe I should. You start to think that direction. You start to act that way, and before you know it, hook, line, and sin. You know what sin is, right? It's a jerk on one end waiting for a jerk on the other. God knows how to draw us. Satan knows how to tempt us. And Satan knows how to lure you and cause you to sin. And so today I want to spend a few moments talking about four steps to win the battle in our mind. When that inner desire begins to build up, when the lies, when we go, is this truth? Is this a lie? Does God really want me to do this? What does how do we tell God's voice from our voice? How do we tell God's voice from the devil's voice? You ever had those questions? So I want to talk today about four steps of winning in the battle of our mind, lies from the enemy. Number one, recognize the unseen war that's going on. Recognize there's an unseen war going on in and for my mind. Right now, 24/7, 365, every day of your life until you die, there is a temptation going on. There's a war over your mind, because he who controls your mind controls your destiny. Rick Warren tells a story. Rick Warren pastors a church in Saddleback Church in Southern Cal. He tells a story about a boa constrictor that someone had, and they'd named their boa constrictor Betsy. And they'd purchased Betsy when Betsy was just a little baby, just a small little snake, and they'd been feeding her, and she kept growing. And about 10 years into this process of having a pet snake, Betsy quit eating. And like for 8 months, Betsy hadn't eaten anything. And so this person was concerned, because Betsy kept getting smaller and smaller, but she kept getting longer and longer and skinnier and skinnier. And so one day, the owner of this, her boa constrictor, took her to the vet to say, I think my boa constrictor is sick. She's dying. Betsy hasn't eaten in 8 months, and she's getting skinny. And he said, well, tell me about what's going on. Well, and he says, does she by chance, what? Tell me about where does she live? Well, she lives in my bedroom. Like, well, I have a glass box, but she often comes and she stretches out alongside me. She'll put her head up on my pillow, and then she'll wrap the end of her tail around my legs. It's weird. So I've just been cuddling with her. I assume she wants to cuddle. And the vet says, well, I got good news for you. The good news is the boa is not sick. There's two things you have to understand. Boas starve themselves when they find prey bigger than they are, but they want. Number two, boas stretch their bodies so they can handle meals bigger than they are. Bad news, The bow is preparing to eat you. What snakes? What snake have you been feeding? To realize that there's this battle in our mind and we feed our snake. And we nurture it until someday, if we don't learn how to deal with the snake will eat us. And you can go for a season going like, I'm just fine. There's nothing going on. Yeah, it's just stretching out, waiting for a moment. Paul talks about the snake. Paul says in Romans, it seems to be a fact of life that while I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I want to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else deep within me that is at war, say war, at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin inside me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant, but instead I find myself a slave to sin. What is he saying? There's this unseen battle in my mind. I want, why do I do what I don't want to do? And the things I don't want to do, I do. I find this law in my mind, this war. We are fighting an unseen battle. It's not like we see it every day, but there is a snake lying by you, hoping to devour you. Snakes are snakes. The devil is a snake, and the devil wants you to buy into the desires. I got this fight that he wants to win the fight, and so does God. There is a spiritual warfare going over right now for your mind. A snake's a snake. Snakes destroy marriages. Snakes destroy relationships. Snakes destroy influence. The lies we believe, the inner warfare, the desires we have, there's a war going on. We must recognize the unseen battle in the mind. And next, we have to win the battle in and for my mind. I must have God's Spirit and Holy Spirit in me. Here's what I know. I'm 50 years old, and there's no silver bullets to serve Jesus the rest of your life. If I just have this one small group, I just have this one class, if I have this over here, friends, there's no silver bullet. It's called the Holy Spirit and His Word. The Holy Ghost and God's Word. God's Word is the Holy Ghost detergent for our mind. Here's the deal. 7 days, 1 week without God's Word makes one W-E-A-K, weak. 7 days without God's word makes us weak. Some of us go weeks without God's word, and we wonder why we don't understand the truth versus the lie, but we don't even know what the truth sounds like or looks like. You don't come to church to hear the word. You should come to church already having been in the word. You got to get it packed inside of here. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, while we live in the world, we don't fight the same way the world does. We don't fight the snake that's trying to kill us the same way. We fight with God's weapons, not with worldly weapons. Our weapons have God's power. Say power. God's weapons have power to demolish the enemy's strong places. We can knock down all the worldly arguments. In fact, that word is the Greek word logia, logic. You ever watch Star Trek? Spock said, logic is a way of going the wrong direction with confidence. Logic is all the lies we believe to get us to think that we're actually different. The situation's different. I could talk about forgiveness and be like, yeah, but you don't know my situation. It's different. They got to come repent to me. We start to believe lies, that God's word's different for us than everybody else out there. And so he says, we have power to demolish strongholds and all God's arguments, the worldly arguments and prideful defenses that set themselves up in our minds against the knowledge of God. In this war, we capture every rebel thought and we make it give up and obey Christ. In other words, he says, we wrestle every thought. We make it obedient. That word obedience, we make it compliant. But how do you make it compliant? If you don't know the Word of God, how can you make your thoughts compliant to the Word of God? In fact, Paul goes on in Romans, if your sinful nature controls your mind. Now, how many of you would agree we all have a sinful nature? My hand's the only one raised. We all have a sinful, raise your neighbor's hand and say, you have a sinful nature. If our sinful nature controls our mind, there's death. But, say but. But if the Holy Spirit controls my mind, there's life and peace. Sinful mind controls my life. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. What's temptation? When I'm lured away. What? Dragged away, enticed by my own evil desires. And so those desires give birth to action, and action gives birth to death. Sinful mind gives birth to death. What's the Holy Spirit give birth to? Life and peace. Anyone here want life and peace? Raise your hand real high. Any takers for death? We've got to understand that the battle's over the control of the mind. And Jesus says this, if you learn and obey my word, you'll be my disciple. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Anyone want the freedom only the Word of God can bring? If you want freedom, friends, I'll tell you right now, if you want to win this battle of the mind, it has to do with you've got to get in the Word of God. And how does a young person keep himself pure? The Bible says, hiding the Word of God in their heart. It's passionate love for the Word of God in partnership with the Holy Spirit, who begins to literally wash our minds and protect us so we have life, not death. Now I'm running out of time. So number three, real quick. Our goal is to learn to think like Jesus. Our goal is to think like Jesus. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter. Since Jesus went through everything we're going through and more, learn to think like him. In other words, he was tempted like us, but did not sin. He was challenged in relationships like us and did not sin. He was in business and could make compromises, but he chose not to without sin. He had relationships and he had desires on the inside with lust. He had hormones just like we did, yet was without sin. How do we begin to think like him? And then it goes on, it says this, your thoughts and attitudes must be like that of Christ Jesus. We need to have the mind of Christ. Now here's what I know. When Jesus was tempted, what's the first thing he did? When he's tempted by the devil when he's fasting for 40 days, he quoted scripture back at the devil. And the devil says, hey, listen, you know, so he goes, Satan then used words, scripture against Jesus and says, hey, you know, jump from the top of here, top of the temple, and God will send angels to swoop you up. And he says, don't put the Lord, the Word of God says, don't put the Lord of God to what? To a test. He quotes scripture back at Jesus. You want the mind of Christ, get the Word of God in your mind. Get inside of there. Jesus said, I do everything my Father says to do. You want the mind of Christ? Begin to do everything the Father says. How do you know that? You have to get the Word of God inside your life. So last thought for you. Rethinking my life to match how Jesus thinks is called repenting. Repenting means metanoia. It's the Greek word metanoia. And metanoia means to change your mind. Noia, thinking. Method, change. Change your mind. In fact, in Acts, it says repent. Change your mind. Return back to God so that all your sins may be erased, blotted out and wiped. Anyone here want your sins erased? Repent means change my mind. Let me return back to God. And this is this, so that times of refreshing, recovering, and reviving may come from the presence of the Lord. Anyone want that refreshing, reviving, and recovering that God can bring? As I was studying, preparing, I wrote this down. Repentance against changing the mind. And I think, you know, we're a Spirit-empowered tribe, which we love what the Holy Spirit does. We believe the gifts of the Spirit are still for today. They're active today. That we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there's power gifts that come with that. But I think the nature sometimes as Pentecostals or Spirit-empowered people is we think revival is a place we go to. And I wrote this down. It says, revival is not an event we go to, it's an event we submit to. Repent says, God, I'm gonna repent. I want you to change my mind so my life is revived. See, sometimes we think if I go to an event and I have some encounter, my life will be changed. Why don't you have an encounter with the Word of God right here and be changed? See, there's two things I'm called to do as a pastor. Number one, comfort the afflicted. And number two, afflict the comforted. Some of us need to be in His Word more than we are. Thoughts control our life, but we control our thoughts. You want to change how you feel? Change how you think. Our behaviors are driven by our beliefs, but sometimes, friends, sin is a result of the lies we believe. And how do we get rid of those lies? We repent of those lies. If you live in addiction, realize it's because you have desires on the inside and your choices have put you where you're at. It's not so-and-so's choices. Yeah. Now, here's the deal. There's some of you in here that have made choices that are very damaging for you because other people made choices that were damaging to you. We can't control the cards we've been dealt in life. I youth pastor for 20 years, the number of kids that were so hurt because of decisions moms made, dads made, uncles made, other people made, and difficult circumstances. But I can tell you right now, that you can't always control the cards you've been dealt, but you can control how you play those cards. When we stand before God, we can't say, well, my life's all messed up because so-and-so's life was all messed up. No, listen, if you're in addiction right now, you're the one that has to say, God, I repent of the lies I believed that the substance could numb my pain and I can get out of it on my own. You need the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to get out of where you're at, and there's people that can help you with that. You've been living in a sinful, adulterous affair. Guess what? You can repent of that and you can find freedom, but you have to break the lie. It's not okay. The Word of God says it's not okay. You're continuing living with unforgiveness and bitterness towards someone else. You have to repent of that. Because the Bible says in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. But I tell you in the New Testament, if you call someone idiot or raka, you've already committed murder in your heart. How do we rationalize the lies we believe and begin to think, well, it's okay. You don't know my situation, Pastor. God, I got special. I'm okay. No, the Word of God is real and we submit to it so we have revival in our own personal lives. If you're here today and you've been thinking thoughts that have got you on the wrong place, again, thoughts are like trains. They'll take you to the wrong place if you're on the wrong train of thought. It's time to say, God, I got to shift my train of thought. In fact, all across this room, every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here. Just begin to pray this prayer. Maybe there's some things the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. This Wednesday, we have encounter night. We'll have time. In fact, we're going to probably spend time on Wednesday night dealing with some of the lies we believe, dealing with some of the areas in our life that have got us on a track we don't like. Maybe you're trapped in addiction today and you're tired of it. Maybe you're trapped in life-controlling patterns where you believe, I'm not really good enough to have someone who really loves me, so I'm just going to kind of spread myself around. I don't know what lies you believe, but I know this. God is bigger than a lie. Satan's been tempting you with own evil desires, unmet needs. He knows the lures. But all across this place, maybe just right now where you're at, you say, God, I'm sorry if there's lies that have stuck out. I know this. God's big enough. Some of you haven't heard a whole lot I said today because something ratcheted right in, attached itself to you through the Holy Spirit and convicted you early about what God's doing in your life personally. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Change my mind about this lie. I want to live your truth. I need your Word of God. I want the mind of Christ. I want to see things through how you see things. I want to see things from your eyes through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. God, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.